Hebrew Bible Class Session 13. Here we talked about different encyclopedias of knowledge from the authors and the readers. And this is a hinge point. We're kind of going, this is the end of Unit 2, going from, you know, first the shape of the Hebrew Bible to the origin of the Hebrew Bible. And now we're going to go into the last three units are on how do we approach different literary styles. How do we interpret and how do we understand where the Hebrew Bible is coming from in these next three sections, which are poetry, narrative, and repeating words and design patterns. So, yeah, the Hebrew Bible is an ancient text, and that text is an act of intentional literary communication. So we talked a little bit about the intentionality of the difference between just a something somebody scrawled out and, you know, and the intentional literary communication that is written, like a novel, a well-crafted novel or poem is such that you can read it and reread it and reread it, and you understand a little bit more each time because there's intentional literary work put into it. And a lot of people approach the Bible thinking that they understand the story overall because they saw some children's literature about it, and so they've got this high level storyline down, but they've never studied it for themselves. So the encyclopedias thing that was mentioned in the title, that's this idea that each person is coming into the world and building an encyclopedia of knowledge of their context, of their, you know, of language and family and culture and understanding how things fit together. And then everything either fits into or breaks away from our own encyclopedia of knowledge, and so we continue to grow that throughout our lifetimes. And a coherent reading of any work of art requires detailed awareness of the grid of conventions. This is a paraphrase of a quote that was in there. The work operates in. So there's a work that's written, either poetry or something that has been crafted. Then the work can complement and contrast the conventional grid. Repetitions and symmetries gain new weight and significance. We can then spot the difference between the innovative and the traditional, because we know what the traditional is. We know what that grid of framework is. The difficulty of modern biblical reading is that we have lost the grid of conventions that it came from. And so it was a short discussion. And one of the questions that was asked was, how do you respond to somebody who says that I don't need to understand the ancient conventions of the author because I think that God will speak to me through the text, even though I don't understand the ancient context? And so there was some discussion, but kind of boiled down was, if you're reading the Bible in English, then you're already a step away because somebody's already done a huge amount of work to translate it into English. And they've used phrases and words that didn't exist in Hebrew or Aramaic. And so there's already a big gap. And there's a cultural gap there too. Because you are not an ancient farmer in the hill country of Judea paying taxes to a temple that is no longer around. If you are, I don't know how you're listening to this. And so they actually turned that around, and that became the question, the prompt question for a response. And so I guess my response is that God can and does work through the Bible in every language that it's translated into. And in the Bible, there are examples and commands that compel us to study and meditate on it. Because as we study and meditate on it, we draw closer to God and we understand His plan, and it changes our hearts. And God has worked through this people and this scripture to bless all nations. And so it is our responsibility to study and meditate on it and be consistent in it. So Psalm 119:11, I have stored up your word in my heart. Joshua 1:9, this book of the law will not depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night. Colossians 3:16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Psalm 1:2, he delights in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. So then my question is, in which translation will all that meditating and studying take place? In King James, in NIV, ESV? If at some point your dedicated years of study, if you don't take into consideration the people and culture and context and language of the Bible, then you have deceived yourself into believing that your people, your culture, your context, and your language are the center of the universe. And you certainly didn't get that from reading the Bible. So that's why I'm studying this, is that I want to know more about that context, that conventional grid that the Bible is written on, so that I can understand it more, so that I can study it more, so that I can be drawn more and more into this whole universe of knowledge and understanding where all this came from, so that I can be changed as I study it to be more and more like Jesus. Because that's what all of this is pointing to.